Like us this evening to consider some words from that verse 9. We'll read all of verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. And his head caught hold of the oak. He was taken up between heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And I want to take those words as my text tonight, and the mule that was under him went away. Absalom bore all the characteristics of a rebellious son. He had no respect whatsoever for his father. He demonstrated a willingness to do whatever was necessary to get his own way, even if that involved killing his own father, because a plan was put to him regarding the killing of his father, and we are told that it pleased him well. You go back to chapter 17, verse 2. And here's Ahithophel, who was once David's counselor. He deserted the king, came over to the side of Absalom. And he said, I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak, handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with me are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. Verse 4. And the saying pleased Absalom well. Ahithophel said that he would smite King David, and here his own son was pleased at that suggestion. He was pleased at the thought of his own father being smitten by Ahithophel and his men. When the day came, the day of battle came between father and son, David sent out three divisions under the command of Joab, Abishai, and Ittai to put down Absalom and his rebel army, and it was to be done in the wood of Ephraim. Before they went forth, before these three commanders left the side of David, David had one last charge for them. And it is there in chapter 18, verse 5. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal kindly for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. Even though Absalom was of a mind to kill his own father, and even though Absalom had never at any time shown any love for his father, yet his father still loved him. And I believe there's nothing on this earth surpasses the love that parents have for their children, and it is demonstrated here in the fact that David loved Absalom, even though Absalom was out to betray him and kill his own father. And Absalom's men were no match for David's army. We read there in our reading, verse 6, so the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. A slaughter indeed. We are told in verse 8, for the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And as to the day of slaughter, Absalom, we are told, met the servants of David, and in an attempt to escape from David's servants, Absalom rode upon a mule. He rode the royal mule, and he rode away in another direction from the servants of David. And we are told that the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. Remember, Absalom was a young man with long hair. Once again, the mark of rebellion. You see a young man with long hair, it's a mark of rebellion. Here it is in Absalom. He was a rebel and he had long hair. And that long hair was his downfall. Because as his mule ran through that oak, or into the center of that great oak, Absalom's hair caught in the bough of the oak. And we are told the mule that was under him went away. And there's Absalom, hanging in the oak between the heaven and the earth. Absalom once enjoyed the support of all Israel. And yet at the end of his life, he didn't even have the support of his mule. Because it says that the mule that was under him went away. And this mule and its actions speak to us of all that Absalom had trusted in. All his ambitions, all his planning, all the things that he had planned for himself, all those things that he trusted in, they all, like the mule, they all went away. And when he came to die, he had absolutely nothing to trust in. Every trust that he had went away. Even his mule went away. He didn't even have the support of his mule. And that reminds us of so many today. And they have their trust in a countless number of things. They have their trust in this and that and the other thing. But when they come to die, if they do not have their trust in Jesus Christ, then everything else they're trusting in, like Absalom's mule, will go away. Will leave them and desert them when they come to die. So it was with Absalom. So it is with many today. My friend, if you're not trusting in Christ, whatever you're trusting in, will desert you in your hour of need. Like Absalom's mule that was under him, it will go away. And what you need is one trusting and one who will never leave you, who will never abandon you, who will never leave you even in the hour of death. Because Jesus Christ has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what lessons may we learn from Absalom and the mule that was under him that went away? First of all, we see Absalom's dependence on his mule. He was depending on the mule at least to help him escape the servants of David. And as he rode under that oak, he was depending on the mule to support him and hold him up. But lo and behold, when his hair caught in the beam on that oak, the mule went away. He didn't even have the mule to support him. And so it was with many things in Absalom's life. But Absalom had been trusting in, among other things, he trusted in the praise of the people. Turn to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And there we read in verse 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom, for his beauty, from the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And so we see that Absalom enjoyed the praise of the people. And he was trusting in the praise of the people. He was depending on his favor with the people. He was depending on that to get him to the throne in Israel, because he wanted one day to sit upon the throne. And since all the people praised him and praised him for his beautiful countenance, Absalom put his trust in that. And that's what he depended on. But when he came to die, the thing that he trusted in was of no use to him whatsoever. Because when Absalom hung there between heaven and earth on the bough of the great oak, there wasn't one voice to be heard praising Absalom. There wasn't one note of praise. There wasn't one song of praise. Like the mule, praise of man left him. And Absalom's left to die alone. You know, there are some today, and they're more concerned about the praise of man. They're more concerned about what man might say about them if they were to come to that place called Calvary and give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they're afraid of what man might say, and they covet the praise of men. And they know that they would possibly lose the praise of men. But I would say tonight, what use is the praise of men when you come to die? No use. It'll just be like the mule under Absalom. When you come to die, the praise of man will leave you. It'll be no good to you for eternity. And so it was with Absalom. Oh, he enjoyed the praise and the favor of men. But what good was it when his head was caught in the bow of that great oak? And we are told that even his mule that was under him went away. He trusted also in his plan. Absalom had made many plans for the future. Look at chapter 15, and there in verses 4, 5, and 6. Chapter 15, verse 4. And Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which has any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so, that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. There was his trust. He was trusting in his plan. Absalom had great plans for the future. Absalom planned to be the judge of Israel. Absalom planned to be the king of Israel. But that day on the battlefield, when he turned his mule, and his mule ran under that great oak, his plans went away with the mule. What had he left? Nothing. His plans, as it were, went up in flames. And there he was, hanging between heaven and earth, suspended between heaven and earth on the bough of a great oak. What plans do you have for the future? Do they involve the Lord? Do they involve the plan of salvation? Have you made any plans for eternity? Because if you do not have any plans for eternity, you'll die as Absalom died. You'll die as Abner died, for he died as a fool died. And every plan that you ever had for the future will leave you, even as Absalom's mule, or even as Absalom's mule left him in his hour of need. Then I notice something else, his procession. Look again at chapter 15, this time verse 7. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. It all sounds very well, doesn't it? Absalom, ready to kill his father, and he's talking about the Lord. Absalom, a rebel, and at the same time he's talking about paying his vow to the Lord. It all sounds very grand. Verse 8, for thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Was he really going to pay his vow? Was he really going to worship the Lord? The very next verse tells us what he really was planning on doing. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Absalom was what many people are today, a false professor. professed to know the Lord. He professed here to worship God. He professed to be going to Hebron to pay his vows. And it was all a lie. And when he came to die, his profession of knowing the Lord deserted him. His profession went from under him. And that profession that he rested upon and depended upon all his days, when he came to die, that profession abandoned him. And so it will be with many who have nothing more to trust in and are trusting in nothing more than an empty, false profession. When they come to die, that profession deserts them. And that profession will go from under them, even as Absalom's mule went from under him. So we have those things that Absalom depended upon. And then we notice Absalom was deserted. We're told in our text that Absalom rode into that great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Absalom was deserted. He was deserted of everything that he had trusted in. He had nothing left. He hadn't trusted in the Lord. And so the Lord wasn't with him when he came to die. He trusted in so many things and they all left him when he came to die. And this was the test. And dear hearer tonight, it always will be the test. Everything that we trust in when we come to die will be put to the test. And if it doesn't stand the test of death, it will do nothing for us in eternity. And death indeed is the test. And all that we ever trust in, if we're not trusting in Jesus Christ, all that we ever trust in will leave us. Just like Absalom's mule. Notice the time. Whenever Absalom rode into that wood, into the wood of Ephraim, and he went under the thick boughs of a great oak, it was the time when he needed the support of the mule. It was the time when he needed the support of the soldiers and his army. It was the time when he needed the support of the nation and all who had gone after Absalom. Where are they now? Where are his friends now? Where are his supporters now? Where are his soldiers now? Where are his plans for the future now? And in his hour of need, he was depending upon them for support. And he discovered when in his hour of need, he didn't even have the support of his mule. And so it will be with many. Many trust in religion, but when it comes to the test, religion doesn't do anything for them. Religion doesn't prepare them for eternity. Religion doesn't give them comfort when they come to die. They trust in their riches. But when they come to die, their riches hasn't prepared them for eternity. They trust in their professions. They trust in their popularity. They trust in their plans. But when they come to die, nothing left. And everything everything that trusted him. In the time that they need those things, they put their trust in. Just like Absalom's mule, it goes away. Oh, how people need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. For as we've already said, Christ has promised never to leave us, never. Not even when we go down into the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord will not leave us then. And when we're about to cross Jordan's chilly waters, the Lord will not leave us then. Everything else will leave us, but Christ will never leave us. My friend, that's who you need to put your trust in. You need to put your trust in Christ. Notice the tragedy. Tragedy was that Absalom had no one to support him. He had no one to strengthen him. He had no one to stand beside him at the time he needed them most. And my, when we come to die, the person we need most of all is the Lord Jesus. And the tragedy is that many die without him. Many today are trusting in 1,001 things. But when they come to die, like Absalom and you, everything they trusted in leaves them. And as I said, of Absalom's mule and the mule that was under him went away, and that's a tragedy. And then we notice Absalom and his death. Absalom and his death. For we are told that he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And then Joab learned about what had happened to Absalom. And Joab asked the young man, one of the soldiers, why didn't you slay him when you came across Absalom? When you found him hanging there between the heaven and the earth, why didn't you slay him? Of course, the young man said, well, I wouldn't slay him after what David the king said. King David said we're not to lay a hand upon him. But that meant nothing to Joab. Because Joab went out and took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed him about, or compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Absalom and his death. Notice the solitude of Absalom. He died alone. Not a soldier with him. Not a friend with him. Not a counselor with him. Not even his mule. They all left him. And he who had so many high hopes, and he who had so many plans for the future, he died alone. And I think of someone dying alone. I think of that pop star Elvis Presley. He had more money, I suppose, than he could count or even knew he had. He was a household name right across the world. He had thousands upon thousands of followers. And yet when he came to die, he died in his bathroom. And he died alone. What a sad death. What a sad death for Absalom. And what a sad death for anyone who knows not Christ. because if they know not Christ in their hour of death, they'll die alone. Notice the slaying of Absalom. We're told there in verse 14 that Joab took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And then it says 10 young men that were with Joab, they took out their swords and they thrust them through the body of Absalom. No mercy. Joab showed them no mercy. The 10 young men that were with Joab showed them no mercy either. Absalom died without mercy. Oh, if he had a turn to the king, David would have shown him mercy. But he was a rebel. He turned his back on the king. He was out to slay the king. He would have found mercy with David. You come to him this evening and give your heart to him and come and confess your sin to him, he will have mercy upon you. But if you reject him and you die as you are, you'll die without mercy. Even as Absalom died. Look at verse 17. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the woods, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Absalom had high hopes for the future. He had hoped to sit upon the throne. He had hoped to be judge of all Israel. He had hoped to have and occupy a prominent position in the nation. And yet whenever they slew him, they threw him into a pit and covered his remains with a great heap of stones. What an ignominious death. It's all because the mule that was under him went away. You know, that reminds me of souls today. When they come to die and they die without Christ, there'll be no mercy for them. And they also, even their souls, will be cast into a great pit. For the Bible tells us that every unbeliever will be cast into the bottomless pit. It will be a pit without a bottom. It'll be a pit the depth of which will not be able to be measured. Notice the slighting of Absalom. We're told there in verse 18, now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's deal, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's Place. It's a sepulchre without an occupant. Absalom's not there at all. Absalom wasn't buried in the king's deal. Absalom wasn't buried with the other kings. He was slain and cast into a pit. And the only marker there was a heap of stones. And again, that's like sinners in the sinner dies without Christ, he'll not spend eternity with the king. He'll not be in the king's deal. Rather, his soul will be in that pit, that bottomless pit that the book of the Revelation tells us about. There was no place for Absalom in the king's deal. You know, whenever it says there in our text about Absalom being caught, hauled off in the oak and was taken up between the heaven and the earth, you know, there was no place for Absalom in heaven. And there was no place for Absalom on earth either. There was no place for him on earth. There was no place for him in the nation. There was no place for him on the throne. There was no place for him on the judge's seat. There was no place for him in the gate of the city. There was just no place for him. Either on earth or in heaven. There's only one place for Absalom. Like Judas Iscariot. It is said of Judas Iscariot that he went to his own place. He went down into hell. And dear sinner, if you die as Absalom died, you also will go to your own place. There'll be no place for you on earth and no place for you in heaven. And I trust that even tonight, as you've considered Absalom and those things that he trusted in, that you'll learn the lesson and put your trust in Jesus Christ, the one who will stand you in good stead, both in time and eternity. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy word. And O Lord, it has been a solemn word as we have considered this young man Absalom and everything he rested on and depended upon and everything he trusted in, like his mule, in the hour of his greatest need, went away from under him. And O Lord, we pray that even souls tonight will learn the lesson, will even come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has promised he will never leave us, and the one who will be with us even in the valley of the shadow of death, because there all who are trusting in Christ will be able to say, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. O Lord, write this word upon our hearts tonight. Gracious Lord, we pray that as we have already prayed tonight, that it might bring forth fruit 100-fold. Now Lord, we ask Thee that Thou will grant each and every one traveling mercy. Take us to our homes in safety tonight. Dear Lord, in Thy will, return us to this house in this incoming week, Lord, to seek Thy face and to call upon Thy name. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.